as big name No Blankets is about to debut in NAM, Melbourne, I'm joined by Rachel Mazza, Ilbijeri Dance Theatre's Artistic Director, to share with us some insights into this groundbreaking rock and roll theatre extravaganza that celebrates the phenomenal journey and impact of the trailblazing music icons Werribee Band, inspired by stories by founding member Sammy Chepananga Butcher. Rachel, first of all, thanks for joining us and welcome to NITV Radio.
Great to be here, and g'day to all you mob out there. Yeah, Rachel Mazza, proud Yirrindji Meriam and Dutch woman living here on NAM, Melbourne, Wurundjeri country, and really excited to be bringing this show from Papunya down to NAM.
Can you tell us what really excited you the most as the artistic director of Bijeri Dance Company, bringing this story of Werribee Band down to NAM?
Where it all started was we had this extraordinary woman working here at Ilbijeri Theatre, Anyapa Butcher, who had moved down from Alice and moved in down to Melbourne and moved into the company, taken on their producing job. And so I got to know Anyapa, and one day we were like, oh, so what stories are you working on that, you know, what stories have you got that you'd like to tell? And she goes, oh, I want to tell the story of my buppers, my fathers, who were the founding members of Werribee. And I was like, my jaw just dropped to the ground. What the? It was so like, oh, my Lord. Like, Werribee are one of the, if not the, most iconic a rock and roll band that this country has ever seen. Their music is as poignant and as vibrant and as celebrated as ever when they first, you know, hit the stages in the early 80s. You know, these guys are just have become such a part of, I mean, you know, I'm hitting 60 this year. Werribee have been a part of what feels like my whole adult life.
Wow.
You know, like So that's what comes across in the show. It is such a celebration of this extraordinary music that came out of the centre of this country. It's black. It's intrinsically black. It's an absolute celebration. And it's familiar. We all know these songs. We all grew up with them. It's such an incredible honour and a privilege to have been able to work with the family in bringing this story, this incredible story, to the stage.
And, it's also described as a blending new and 65,000-year-old ways of storytelling. How have you woven traditional Indigenous narratives and performance styles into this contemporary rock and roll theatre piece?
Yeah, you make a really good point. You know, we've been telling stories and dancing and practicing our culture on this country forever, you know, well over 65,000 years. In some places, if they dig far enough down in Warrnambool there, that they reckon 120,000 years. So basically, they've just got to keep digging. That's my theory. You know, but theatre, this Western form of theatre, the challenges that come with trying to meld this Western form, with our way of telling story, and it's partially the buildings, even the theatre, the whole structures of theatre industry is such a white construct. So, you know, that's our job as the Ilbijeri Theatre. We've been going for 34 years this year as the longest running Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander theatre company. And it's about how we indigenise these spaces and take over and bring our blackness and our black ways of working into these spaces. And if we're not bringing it into these spaces, we're taking it out to communities. So this works. Also going to be going into prisons. It's also going to be going out to remote communities, and that's a really big priority. Like, you know, traditionally, like Western traditionally, I'm speaking, theatres are not safe places for our mobs. So it is important that we're able to get this work out of those places as well. But I think what people are going to find is when they come along and see Big Name No Blankets at Rising Festival at the Melbourne Town Hall. Like, we have proper taken over that space. You know, like, proper indigenised that space. It is going to feel like you're at a Wurrumpi rock and roll concert. You know, that's how we've designed the show, that straight away you feel like you're there. And and that's music, and that this incredible talented cast, like the way that they hold space, that invites the audience right in, you know, like, it's a pretty special, a special experience.
No, it's so powerful. You even describe it as the black musical that we need, especially after the Voice referendum result. How can storytelling through theatre help process that moment and move forward?
Yeah, I believe deeply that storytelling, like this thing that we do in the arts, is telling story. Is hearing our stories, our music, our songs, our dance. It's actually the continuation of our practice as our expression through our art is how we express ourselves culturally as black followers. There's definitely that component of it, but without a doubt, in this kind of more contemporary way of which we tell story, I have no doubts that the very act of voicing your story and being heard is an act of healing. This thing that we do through art is a step towards this process of healing 237 or whatever it is years of trauma. And let's face it, it's not over. There's no post-colonialism. We are in colonialism. We are still very much in the war. The impacts of colonialism on our people is violent, and we continue to have to navigate a violent space that doesn't respect and honour our place as the first peoples of this land. Our sovereignty has never been acknowledged. That's partially why that friggin' useless referendum failed. And there's many reasons why it fails, including, you know, we can go and have a big yarn about that. But at the heart of it, actually, at the heart of the referendum was the only thing that was on offer was an advisory body. And I was like, we got to get way past that.
Yeah.
The referendum has to be about acknowledging our sovereignty and being able to have the bigger conversations around treaty. And I understand why we all agreed, okay, little step at a time, but oh my Lord, Jesus, we've been taking little steps for a long time. So there's no doubt that whether the referendum could have been done differently, the fact that it was a failure impacts us all. The trauma of being so overwhelmingly voted against.
Yeah,
you know, to be have that big nose slapped in your face, that I can see the trauma of that and the triggering that that's had on our people and how it's set back this country 100 years. You know, I was yarning with my brother the other day and he was reminding me of all those councils. There's councils all over Australia who have decided they're not going to do acknowledgements to country anymore. Because
no.
Australia's voted, apparently.
That's a
so this is being used as a baton by and these latent, you know, it's there lurking under the surface. This want to rebound back to the white Australia that's a reminder of the violence that we're having to exist in. Because there it is, scratch under the surface. They just want us all to be white. You know, anyway, I'm going on my rant. You shouldn't have mentioned the word referendum.
No, it's a very powerful question, and just highlighting all these setbacks, the smallest little thing that was asked and then rejected so resoundingly. No, that's...
So resoundingly.
Yes, yeah, so many efforts made and all the work that has been put in, going back to square one, that's just a horrific thing. And going back to continuing this conversation about colonization and the impact There's the aspect of losing language, and the Werribee Band actually made history singing in Aboriginal languages. How does this show, Big Name No Blanket, celebrate and honour that groundbreaking legacy?
The music does it all. You know, Werribee made their mark because they were the first band born out of that community at Papunya there, steeped in the cultures of both that community in the language of Luritja, and then George, who's come down from Yolngu country, from Elko Island, with his language, Gumach. So these songs, written and sung in rock and roll, in the languages of those two communities, it was phenomenally groundbreaking, and hence is such a celebration of the rich culture of this country. And you make the point, though, of course, that this is one of the impacts of colonisation has been the devastating impacts of language loss, right, that's felt right across the country. And, you know, I've lived my whole life down south Australia, east, on the eastern southern corner of Australia, and the impacts on these communities, on these parts of Australia where the colonisation first hit, is most severely felt. And saying that, the work that's happening in these communities is phenomenal. And these next generation of young fellas that are absolutely owning and celebrating, and these artists now that are coming up here on this country, they're writing songs in their language, they're writing theatre in their language. You know, there's this whole major resurgence of claiming space to be able to speak your language and to be able to pass on your language. And yeah, language sits at the heart of who we are as a people. And hence, you know, I don't know my language, so I just, you know, for me, it's I live with it, with the everyday trauma of not having my language. My language is spoken, thankfully, like on my grandfather's side there up in Meriamere. That language is very strong. That said, it's still, you know, there's still concerns by the elders that there's less and less speaking, more people speaking Creole than they are speaking Meriam.
Yeah, but despite all the setbacks and all the moves by colonizers to erase language is still very much alive, and efforts to revive it more vibrant than ever.
I mean, actually, someone was describing to me that how language works. The English language is one of the most two-dimensional languages. The depth and the meaning of words when trying to translate much richer, older cultures and languages, like from older cultures, like Aboriginal language. English language just literally cannot translate because the words are too thin. They don't have the depth of meaning that Aboriginal language words have, which I just thought, oh my God, that totally makes sense. English language is a baby language compared to Aboriginal languages, which go back 100,000 years. You know, like you just like, it blows your mind. But anyway, that's what's so phenomenal about Werribee is that, from the centre of Australia, where their language is still very strong, having been leased. Well, you know, anyway, it's not a competition here, but you know what I mean. Like they were able to maintain their language, and on the whole, are still living. Well, even then, you look at Papunya. I was going to say living on country, but Papunya is actually not their country.
Wow, I didn't know that. So where are they from?
They were rounded up from east, north, south and west, and rounded up by the churches there and put onto this community. So there's connections through the song lines to this country, but it's actually not their country. That's Arunda country. That language, Luritja now, is actually a combined language of the five or seven different mobs that were all brought there to that country by that Lutheran church. So Luritja is actually its own language that was adopted, developed by those communities so that they could have a shared language. That blows my mind. That's absolutely incredible. So you talk to any fellas up there, it's not unusual for them to know nine different languages. So, you know, there's definitely this, and hence why it's a been blown my mind, living down south and being able to work with this desert mob who are so rich in their language. And it's been such an incredible honour, because I understand how deeply important it is to be maintaining our languages. Yeah,
it's also a testimony to their resilience and adaptation to the land and the new things imposed on them. They're still creating and relieving their culture in a very, very vibrant form. Now, finally, before I let you go, as someone with a distinguished career across Australia, Australian film, TV and theatre, what has this experience of bringing this powerful, groundbreaking, big-name No Blankets show to life meant to you personally and artistically?
It's interesting you reference, the career, if you call it a career, but, the work that I've done over the years, I really quite reflect often when I think about the work that I'm able to do now and the where we're able to take the work around to the festivals. And, it's the industry that I started in, over 30 years ago, it was a very different industry. We didn't have a film industry. We didn't have a dance industry. We didn't have any self-determined, sovereign blackfella arts organisations. We'd had, they'd started and gone, but there was a National Black Theatre in Redfern. There was obviously the Blackfella radio station in Redfern. There's been moments of theatre coming and going and arts organisations, but really this, my 30 and plus years in this sector has seen an extraordinary, though slow, growth in terms of amazing organisations like Bangara and, even the company I work for, Il Bidgeri, Yiriyarkin. All the stuff that's happened in film, the incredible body of films that have now been are out there and filmmakers like Blackfella filmmakers, the television shows. There isn't a festival that doesn't have a black production in it, a plus of and it's just, it's a very different industry now. And so, if anything, when I reflect on the world, the industry that I grew up in, I'm reminded of actually how scarce it was between roles. And even when I did get a role, I started as an actor, it was always written by a white fella, badly, with a white director. And it was just so frustrating. I was so unhappy with the type of work that was on offer for a young black actor in those days. So I very much relish how extraordinary it is now, and that we get to perform a fully black self-determined works on the big stages that goes around to all the festivals. And it's just such a joy to see our stories and our works, as I said, right across, all the work that's happening across the country. It's just so extraordinary, lots of room for more growth. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done, but it's a very different time, and I just so full heart full with joy to be able to be a part of this thriving industry, to where we've got it now is just something I'm so proud of. It just gives me great joy to think that our young fellas, when they turn on the TV or they go to the cinema or they whatever, listen to the radio, they're hearing our voices. They're seeing our image being presented, but presented by us, positive images, strong images, meaty, real conversations, truth talking, self-determined, sovereign storytelling. And this is their normal. They get to grow up and think, oh, this is how it should be. But it wasn't like that. So I'm just so proud and gives me great hope for the future when I think that this is the world that these kids are growing up in. Obviously, we've still got a long way to go. We've still got a lot of A lot of work to do. This country is still a very racist country. As our conversation started talking about the referendum, we've still got a long way to go. But it's a much better place than it was.